And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. A lot of sunshine today, some clouds, but we've had a good bit of sun, even though the forecast calls for a mix. There have been times when it's been a little cloudy, but a good bit of blue sky. Nice looking day. Temperatures have already climbed into the 50s, so we're noticeably warmer than yesterday. So kind of breezy, though. And when you get to this time of year and there's a wind blowing, boy, yesterday was brutal, wasn't it? I mean, we had sunshine yesterday afternoon, but if you were outside, that wind just went right through you. Open talk to begin our program today. We'll have guests with us later. We're going to be talking about women getting the right to vote here in the United States. We vote tomorrow, you know, General Election Day. Women did not have the right to vote in the U.S. until 1920. So we will soon be marking the 100th anniversary of women getting the right to vote. It's hard to believe, isn't it? When you think about that, you know, land of liberty, United States, and we didn't allow women to vote until 1920? Gosh. We'll be talking with Sally Roche Wagner about the women's suffrage movement a little bit later on the program today. We're also going to be chatting with some folks from St. Andrew's United Presbyterian Church here in Butler. Deanna Golden is the director of music there. Tells us that there's a benefit concert coming up to benefit the dental health program at the Gene Purvis Community Health Center. So we'll get all the details on that a little bit later on the program as well. But open talk to begin with. Our phone number is 283-2525, 283-2525. Do you plan to vote tomorrow? Hope so. General election tomorrow. Voter turnout is usually pretty light, certainly compared to next year. Next year will be a presidential election year already. And that'll bring out the voters. But I hope people go to the polls tomorrow. School director seats are up for election in many of our area school districts, and that's important with regard to the taxes that you pay and the teachers that are hired in our area schools. Some pretty spirited battles there. And there are municipal elections in various townships for supervisor, commissioner. Here in the city of Butler, there are city council seats. Two seats on city council are up for election this year. And, of course, we have county row offices that are up for election this year as well. Many of them are uncontested. So I do hope you plan to go to the polls tomorrow. Polls will be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Now, here in Butler County, there's a new voting system this year. And if you're not familiar with it, and most folks aren't, because we've used the same system, the touch screen system now for many years. I'd say better part of 10 years we've been using that. Well, those machines are gone. And you're going to get a paper ballot when you go to the polling place tomorrow, and you have to fill in ovals next to the candidates that you want to vote for, kind of like filling in a lottery ticket, you know, if you play the Pennsylvania lottery. In fact, it would be very, very much analogous to that. If you're filling out a lottery ticket, it's a rectangular box that you fill in the new ballot system, it's an oval. Maybe you took some tests when you were back in high school. We had to fill in the oval. That's what we're talking about here. And then you insert it into a scanning device. that automatically scans, just like when you fill out a Pennsylvania lottery ticket, and the clerk at the convenience store, wherever you bought your ticket, puts it through a scanner, and you get a ticket printed out. The whole purpose of this is that there is a paper trail. Should there be a question or a problem, and you want to, you know, double check things, there's a paper trail, because after you insert your ballot into the scanner, it goes into a locked area, a locked box, and it's available for review if need be. So don't be intimidated by this. It seems pretty simple. I've not actually seen the machines. I watched the video that's posted on Butler County's website, and it's a pretty short video. It's a couple of minutes, but it shows you how to do it. I'm anxious to see it. See it in operation. We'll all be using it tomorrow. Open talk here on the program today, 283-2525. Let's get to the people. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Hi, Dave. Have you actually reviewed this new voting system at all, online or anything?
I have looked at the video online. I've not actually seen one in person yet, no.
Okay. I know they had one up at the community college a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted, in the worst way, to get up there, and I don't know, it got by me. But if you write a name in, is that going to show when it's scanned?
Yes, it'll count write-ins. Exactly how that works, I don't know, but it counts them. As I recall, there's a blank space if you want to write in somebody's name, and then you fill in the oval next to the, you know, to the name that you wrote in. Now, exactly how the scanner tells what name is on the right, I don't know how that vote, how that
okay.
works, but they're counted for sure. I mean,
yeah, I'm sure they are counted, and I just wanted to know, because I know that there is a write-in campaign, a couple of write-in campaigns, and I guess you have to take your own pen along to write in the name. So, you know, I'm not sure how that's all going to work, but I'm sure going to try it.
Well, I don't know. And again, I didn't get out to the college to piddle around with that demonstrator machine either. But you have to use a blue or a pen with either blue or black ink. But that's, you know, that's very similar to, you know, taking a test or filling in any of those scanner cards.
Sure.
And my guess is that there would be some pens there, but I don't know. You know, my guess is there'd be a couple of pens that you could, you know, take one out and use it, but I don't know that.
I guess if I was running a write-in campaign, I might hand out pens at the doors.
Well, you're still going to have to sign into the poll book like you always have done.
Right, and they only have a couple of pens there whenever you sign in, so I don't know if the Election Bureau will have some extra pens available or not, but I think it would behoove people who think they may write in a person's name to take a pen along. Make sure.
Well, you'll need a pen to write in to fill in the ovals for anybody that you're voting for.
True enough. Is that... okay, well...
You know, you need a pen whether you're going to write in somebody's name or not.
Ah, okay.
That's why
I'm not online, so I can't, you know, I can't preview that, so I was hoping you could give me better information. But
well, that's why I'm guessing there'll be, you know, some pens lying around.
Right.
I know that when you go in and you sign into the poll book, which has been the case forever.
Right.
And then you're handed a ballot, a paper ballot, and then you go to a, from what I garnered from the video, it's a little small table-like thing that has a couple of privacy sheets around it, you know, like pieces of cardboard or something. So
sure.
That
well,
you have
the
some...
old, the previous way that they had it was, you know, it had a little privacy cubby hole type thing.
Well, similar to that, so that you're able to mark your ballot without somebody watching, you know, who you're, what ovals you're filling in. And then you take it to the scanner and you insert it and, you know, it's scanned.
Yeah. And I know that the poll watchers will be there to help people who have questions, as always. So I'm sure that they'll be there to help, but I think...
In my polling place, there's always been, a couple of people seated at the table where you're signed into the poll book, and then there's always been a couple of people who will direct you to, you know, an empty booth
machine,
and
right.
help you out, and so on and so forth. So I'm sure they'll have those same people there tomorrow.
I would think so. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. So
bye-bye.
Long. 283-2525 is the number. Open talk. Hi, caller. Thanks for waiting. Go right ahead. This is Dave, and it's your turn. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, David.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I watched that video this morning, and they indicated that there will be pens there, and then you also will go over to a privacy small panel desk to cast your ballot.
Yeah.
And then you feed it through the scanner. And I also believe there will be security envelopes as well, according to the video on the Butler County website.
Yes, I watched that video briefly, and I saw the little table-like thing. It looks very similar to, the machines we're using, but obviously there's no touchscreen or anything there. It's just like a little privacy booth, you know, where you can fill out your card.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
It looks
okay,
to be,
thank you, David.
Sure, thank you. Looks to be pretty simple. You know, I mean, I'm not worried about it at all. And as an earlier caller said, you know, there'll be people there to help you in case you're a little confused. But I don't think it's going to be any problem. And quite frankly, I'm pleased that the county commissioners acted so quickly on getting this because there are some counties in Pennsylvania that haven't done it yet. And they're still going to be using the systems that don't have a paper trail. A state recently passed legislation, just last week, as a matter of fact, that allocates some more money to help counties buy new equipment because, you know, it is expensive. But Butler County acted quickly, and we've got the new machines, the new scanners, and the privacy booths, and they'll be all ready to go tomorrow. 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. will be the hours for the polls to be open, and we'll have live election coverage tomorrow night here on WISR, starting about 9 o'clock. It takes an hour or so for the first returns to start dribbling in, but we'll have it for you tomorrow night. We are back on standard time. You know, every time we change the clocks, you see these stories on the wire. You see these articles in the newspaper about what a burden it is. Is this a burden for you? I mean, I've done it all my life, and it takes a couple of minutes. So big deal, you know. you go around and change however many clocks you have in your house. And it's very easy to change the clock in your car now. In most cases, you just have to push a button. Some are even automatic. On your PC, your home computer, or your laptop, or your telephone, it changes automatically. You don't have to do anything there. The most complicated thing for me is my wristwatch, because I have a digital watch, and it... You know, there's four buttons. There's a button on each side of the watch, and I can never remember. How could you ever remember what sequence you push them? But I have the instructions, and, you know, that takes about 30 seconds. But that's really the only one that takes any time for me. I can't see where it's that big of a burden. There are states, there are countries who are planning to eliminate the twice-a-year change. And we always see these reports about how greatly it upsets your body clock. And I it's just never been a problem for me. A problem for you? You know? So we got an extra hour of sleep this past weekend. I never go to bed at exactly the same time anyway. Roughly. But, you know, there are some nights where you stay up to watch the news, some nights you don't. A lot of it depends on when you have to get up, you know, what time you get up in the morning. But unless you went to bed at exactly the same time every night, you know, 10:15, 11:15, or whatever, I can't see where it would be that big of a deal. You know, there are times when, you know, maybe you go to the movies, or maybe you're out with friends, or whatever. And, you know, you go to bed late or early. We managed to live through that. I don't know. If we did stay on one time all year round, I would much prefer that we stayed on daylight saving time. Because I love that extra hour of daylight in the evening. Especially in the spring and the summer and the fall. I mean, I'd hate to give that up. It's great in the summertime when it's 9 o'clock before the sun goes down, right? Right? Would you want to give that up? I certainly wouldn't. Well, we'll see what governments around the world and here in the U.S. do, but there are movements to eliminate the twice-a-year change. I personally can't see that it's that big of a deal. Fine for me to leave it the way it is. And we have daylight saving time now, almost 8 months out of the year. It's only for the other 4 months that we have standard time. Well, I guess for some people it's a big deal. Not that big of a deal for me. We need to take a break. We're talking about Election Day tomorrow and the new voting system that will be used here in Butler County. It's kind of exciting. I'm anxious to try it out tomorrow. We're going to be talking about voting on the next segment of the program, specifically women's right to vote, which only came in the United States in 1920. Or was it earlier? Well, we'll find out about that. Our first guest will join us via the telephone here on It's Your Turn, Sally Rush Wagner. We're going to be talking about women's suffrage. Good time to do it here on the day before Election Day. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR. We will be back right after these words.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Undoubtedly, the most influential band of all time was the Beatles, with 20 number one hits. Experience one of the top-rated Beatles tribute bands, A Hard Day's Night, at Tanglewood Center on Saturday, November 16th. Doors open at 6 o'clock. Dinner buffet by Chef George at 7, showtime at 8. Only $35. As always, it's BYOB. There's no doubt why this group was invited to Liverpool, England, to perform during International Beatles Week. For tickets, call Tanglewood at 287-0021.
Going to be talking about the women's suffrage movement. Listeners, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest joining us by telephone is Sally Rush Wagner, who is the editor of an anthology of papers and other historical documents concerning the women's suffrage movement. Sally Rush Wagner, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us for a few minutes here today.
Thanks, Dave. Looking forward to it.
You know, there are some famous names that most of us probably saw in our history class, or maybe we even know the names from the past that are associated with women's suffrage. But there are a lot of names that we never heard of before, and you addressed that in your book, do you not?
If we had 5 or 6 days, we could go over all of them. I think the difference between the way that history has been told in the past, the great men model, and we learned the great women model. But in fact, this was a movement. There was no single woman that was the most important or that did anything more than really anybody else did collectively. It was a movement of thousands of women and male supporters around the country that began to create the change for women's rights.
Well, we know names like Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton, but that might be the extent of it for most of us. You talk about, and this is fascinating to me, you talk about the impact that women of color had in the women's suffrage movement. Women of color, whether red, brown, or black. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, let me give you a couple examples. One is that, you know, if we think that history began with white people, we begin with 1848, the Seneca Falls Convention. But in fact, women have had political voice on this land for over 1,000 years. The Haudenosaunee, the Iroquois Confederacy, founded on the shores of Onondaga Lake over 1,000 years ago, women have political authority to nominate, hold in office, and remove the male chiefs that represent them in council. The men cannot have committed a murder, they cannot have committed a theft, and they cannot have abused a woman. And it continues today. The other thing is that the movement, in some ways, we might want to date from 1832, when African-American women in Boston formed the first female anti-slavery society. They're working for an end to enslavement and the rights of African-Americans. But beyond that, they're learning political strategy. They're finding their political voice. They're learning how to organize, and that's what they bring into the women's movement then when they begin to organize for their own rights.
A little bit about our guest listeners. Sally Rush Wagner was awarded one of the first doctorates in the United States for work in women's studies, and she is a founder of one of the first college-level women's studies programs in the United States. That was at CSU Sacramento, and she's currently an adjunct faculty member in the Rene Crown University Honors Program, Syracuse University, and the St. John Fisher Executive Leadership Program as well. So she's well prepared to gather all of these papers. Where did you find these? Are they available in libraries? Did you meet them during your years of teaching women's studies, Sally?
You know, it's almost 50 years of research, and it's initially, before internet, finding these in rare book rooms, in special collections in libraries, and then as I completed the book, finding amazingly that some of them were actually online and searchable. So it's a combination over a very long period of time that culminates in the wonderful research opportunities we have today with the internet.
We, this year, will celebrate the centenary, right, of giving women the right to vote here in the United States. You know, there are generations today, younger generations, that can't believe that it took until 1920 for women to get the right to vote here in the United States. One thing that I did not know until I picked up a copy of your book was that early on, we're talking back in the colonial days, women actually had the right to vote, right? And then they lost it.
Yes. It was in the colonies period, it was property that was the qualification. And if a man or a woman had sufficient property, they were able to vote. Once the states formed their constitutions, one by one, they made it illegal for women to vote. Only males could be voters. So when the suffragists organized, they said, we're not asking for a new right, we're asking for a restitution of the right that our foremothers had.
The title of the book we're discussing, listeners, is The Women's Suffrage Movement. It's published by Penguin Classics. I mention that because that's a pretty prestigious publishing house. The book is edited by Sally Rush Wagner, whom we're chatting with. And by the way, the foreword of your book is by Gloria Steinem. That's pretty that's pretty terrific, isn't it, to get her?
It really is. She's a friend, and it was very gracious of her to write the foreword.
A couple of other interesting facts, listeners, that I certainly didn't know until I picked up the review copy of this book. What if I ask you, listeners, who was the first woman to declare her candidacy for the presidency of the United States? Well, it turns out that it was a woman that I'd never heard of before, Victoria Woodhull. And irony of ironies, she spent election night in jail. What the heck happened to her, Sally?
Yeah. Well, the Christian fundamentalists were able to get laws passed through the states and the federal government declaring the press censor, Anthony Comstock, having the power and the authority to determine what was obscene in the United States. Comstock decided that anything to do with reproduction or sexuality was obscene. And so he arrested hundreds, maybe thousands of people around the country. And Victoria Woodhull had published in her newspaper with her sister two instances of hashtag Me Too. One of them was the most famous minister in America who was using his position to sexually, require his parishioners. And he was one of them. The other one was at a party with Wall Street operatives, which Victoria Woodhull and her sister Tennessee were as well. They saw two men systematically get a 15 and a 16-year-old girl drunk and then realize that they had sexually violated them. And so through they were arrested basically for Me Too exposures, and she spent election night in jail.
Well, here's another interesting fact that I learned from the book, listeners. New York suffragists protested at the unveiling of the Statue of Liberty in 1886. Why? Why? Because they thought it was a great hypocrisy, right, to represent women as a female form when that wasn't the case here in the United States.
It's the greatest hypocrisy of the 19th century to represent woman as liberty as woman in a land where not a single woman has political liberty.
We mentioned that it's hard to believe that women did not get the right to vote here in the United States until 1920 with the passage of, what amendment was that, the 19th? Is that the 19th?
19th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's also almost impossible for me to believe that the Equal Rights Amendment failed 25 years ago. Tell us the story of that. What happened there, Sally?
You know, it was introduced first, right after women won the guarantee of the right to vote. Of course, that didn't mean that every woman could vote because of the voter suppression laws in the South. African American women and men really didn't get the right to vote until the 1960s with the laws that overturned the Jim Crow laws. But 1923, the Woman's Party said, you know what, it's not sufficient to have the vote. We also need to have equal rights protected in the Constitution. And so they began the struggle in 1923, and today we are still waiting to have equal rights protected in the United States of America. We're kind of an embarrassment in the rest of the world.
Didn't the Equal Rights Amendment come close to being approved, but then failed at the last minute?
Yeah, three states short. And so now there's a three-state strategy, and if Congress will approve the ability to go back after the deadline and have three more states approve, the Equal Rights Amendment will be passed.
And this would guarantee things like, for example, equal pay for equal work and so on?
Well, it's really a tool. You know, the suffragists, some of the more progressive suffragists said, you know, the vote isn't an end in itself. It's just a tool that women can use to fight for their rights. Equal Rights Amendment will be the same thing.
Well, it's a good year to talk about this since we will be celebrating 100 years very soon since the passage of the women's suffrage, giving women the right to vote here in the United States. That will be next year, right, when we'll celebrate the 100th anniversary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you planning a party, Sally Rush-Wagner?
You know, I think first I want to see a truth and reconciliation to really look at the racism of the movement, the way in which it set women, people of color, back. And I think once we tell the truth about the history, we can then celebrate the good parts of it. But we need first to take accountability.
By the way, in addition to this anthology, a collection of an incredible number of documents and letters and papers and so on, our guest, Sally Rush-Wagner, has written a very comprehensive introduction to this anthology. The title is The Women's Suffrage Movement, edited by Sally Rush-Wagner. She's been our guest here on It's Your Turn for the last few minutes. Sally, thanks for being with us. This is a pretty good book that you have here.
Oh, thanks, Dave. It was a pleasure visiting with you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks now.
Are you looking to buy a house for the first time? At Armco Credit Union, they're known for competitive rates and low fees. But did you know their mortgage specialists will work with you every step of the way to make sure your best interests are served? Call the mortgage department at 724-284-2020 and ask them about their first-time home buyer program that allows a minimum down payment of only 3%. Don't have time to call or visit? Simply apply for a mortgage online, armcocu.com. Armco Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity and is federally insured by NCUA.
The days and weeks immediately following the loss of a loved one are so difficult, so personal. You think, does anybody really understand how I feel? I can't even understand it myself. I wish I could talk to someone about it. Well, you can. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler offers a unique program called Someone's Caring. It's carefully and sensitively designed to help you ease the pain, to help you fill the gaps when you feel so alone. Men and women are invited to attend. Yes, men are beginning to realize it's okay to express their feelings in a small group setting. They're finding that it really helps. We offer four programs: a grief support group for those who have lost a loved one, for survivors of a suicide, for bereaved parents, and individual sessions. Our own trained bereavement specialist Robin S. Miller personally conducts the sessions. Call us at Thompson Miller, 724-287-3706, 287-3706. We can help. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us. Nice to talk about women's suffrage, as we're one day before Election Day. Hey, we have a great concert coming up this weekend, and we have guests here in the studio to tell us about it. Let's go around the horn here. The pastor of St. Andrew's United Presbyterian Church in Butler is with us, and that's Mary Malloy. Pastor, good to see you.
It's good to be here.
I haven't bumped into you in a while. It's nice to see you. Nice to have you here today.
It's great to be here.
Also, the director of music at St. Andrews, Deanna Golden, is here. Deanna, good to see you as always.
Hi, Dave. Nice to be here.
And an acquaintance of long standing, Jim Cunningham, is here as well. Jim, good to see you.
Nice to see you, Dave.
So let me talk to you first, Pastor. A concert coming up this weekend. I've got the right weekend,
yep.
Right?
November 10th.
Mm-hmm. And this is a salute to veterans.
It is. It's also a fundraiser for the Veterans Dental Program at the Community Health Center.
Mm-hmm.
So there are several purposes for the concert. And it's just a great opportunity to come out and hear great music. This coming Sunday at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Will there be an admission charge?
No, it's free. We're asking folks to consider contributing to the offering that will be received during the concert, but everyone is welcome and there's no admission charge.
Mm, terrific. And who's going to be, Deanna, who's going to be providing the music?
We are so happy to bring back the TMG Big Band. They provided the same concert to us last year, and we were delighted. The audience enjoyed every bit of it, and so we didn't feel a need to change anything because it was such a wonderful afternoon. So the TMG Big Band.
Well, that explains why we have Jim Cunningham here with the TMG Big Band.
Correct.
Does TMG stand for anything?
TMG stands for Trinity Music Group.
Mm-hmm.
And we were initially called the Trinity Jazz Orchestra. And we found out after a couple years that when people heard the word jazz, they thought of like real wild Miles Davis stuff and, you know, avant-garde jazz, and didn't understand it was like big band jazz, mm-hmm. sounds of Glenn Miller and Count Basie and Stan Kenton. So our parent corporation is Trinity Music Group, so it's the TMG Big Band.
Well, personally, I don't find anything really wild about Miles Davis stuff. That's pretty soothing to me, but I can understand how people would get mixed up.
Yeah, I heard Miles empty his spit valve in a microphone for 5 minutes as a solo.
Well, that's kind of wild.
Yeah.
What's on the program, Jim? What are some of the numbers that folks who attend on Sunday will hear?
Well, this is, again, it's a tribute to veterans. So we have two shows that we do this time of year. One is our God and Country show, tribute to veterans. God Bless the USA, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. We always do an Armed Forces medley to honor various people serving different services, America the Beautiful. And then we're doing some other stuff, some non-God and Country type stuff. Deanna is going to be, again, a featured vocalist with us. Her son, Kevin, who's a real fine young drummer, is going to sit in and play a couple tunes with us, so... Should be a good time. We have a Christmas show that we do, too. And I'm just going to throw a little plug in here along with this. On December 16th, we're going to do our Christmas show at First English Lutheran Church in Butler, which is also free to the public.
Well, it won't be long before we're talking about Christmas stuff. That's it. Are you already rehearsing Christmas music at St. Andrews, Deanna?
We did start our first Advent piece, and I have the first couple... tunes that we'll be doing for Christmas Eve chosen. There's one more yet to come. I haven't decided on that, but when inspiration lands, then we'll get that one out too. But yeah, I'm really excited to get into a... personally, Christmas Eve is my favorite service at St. Andrews because we have a 30-minute prelude before the service where anybody who has musical talent is welcome to share. And we've got a fantastic group of youngsters. Now they're age 13 to 16, but we've had them performing since they were 2 to 4. Mm. And so it's really a delight to see them growing. And now they've all got various instruments under their belts. And so... Yes, Christmas is well started in the practice rooms at this point.
I agree with you. I sing in a choir, too, at my church, and it's always fun to start getting out the Advent music. And and we're working on a new John Ritter piece for Christmas Eve. And you know Ritter.
That's
beautiful, but it's hard.
Yeah.
Yes,
yes.
It's
you start early on those. That's right.
What are you going to be singing, Deanna, on Sunday?
I so enjoyed singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic last year that I asked to repeat that. And I'll be doing God Bless the USA, which actually I sang with Jim a month ago as we did a small gig together. And... Day In, Day Out is an old jazz standard. And then I get to sing with Andrew Carnes. He's the regular vocalist. He'll be doing several vocals throughout the afternoon as well. And we decided we would team up for one, and we'll do the old Nat King Cole, Natalie Cole Unforgettable duet.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow. That's a gorgeous thing.
Lovely, too.
Yeah, that'll be beautiful.
And that was Natalie Cole... recorded that after her father's death. They did a duet with the magic of, you know, digital recording that they can do these days. It was a gorgeous rendition. I love that song.
Any excuse to sing that song is a good time.
Yeah. Well, gosh, there'll be a lot of good music to hear on Sunday, right? Yeah. And the free will offering will be taken to benefit specifically the Veterans Dental Program, I guess, at
correct.
The Gene Purvis Community Health Center?
That's correct. Actually, I'm wearing two hats. I'm the vice president of the board of the clinic
mm-hmm.
and also the vice president of the TMG Big Band. So now I'll put on my other vice president hat and talk a little bit about the clinic. The clinic has been in operation. We're in our 11th year and operates completely on charitable gifts and events like this with community groups helping us raise money.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been able to survive because of people attending these types of events and supporting the clinic. But we're offering it free to get people in. They'll hear a little bit. They'll hear a little commercial about the center whenever they get there. But they're very worthwhile. I tell people, and I'm perfectly serious when I say this, if you, in New York City, if you paid to see a show like this, you would probably drop $100 to go hear a show of this quality. So, mm-hmm. and Sunday afternoon is a great time to come out after church and see it. That's a lovely sanctuary acoustically. We had a blast playing in there. So it's not too loud for those of you who are sitting out there thinking, well, because we're back up on the altar. So it's very nice acoustically.
There may be some listeners who didn't even realize that the Gene Purvis Community Health Center offered dental care.
Yeah. The Veterans Administration offers very limited dental care. I'm a veteran, and as soon as I got out of the Navy, they gave me one free exam and gave me a cleaning and x-rays and filled a couple of teeth. But other than that, veterans, unless they are injured in war, wounded,
or a former POW, that's only recent that was added.
Yeah, it's very, very limited. So whenever we found that out, because we do have a very successful dental clinic, we have dozens of volunteer dentists who come out and offer their services free. Mm-hmm. Top equipment, it's very, very well established dental department. So we've opened it up to veterans who may not meet some of the other criteria. Yeah, normally we see people who are between 19 and 65, because over 65 they have Medicare. Under 19, they're on the CHIPS program.
Mm-hmm.
But many, I mean, I'm on Medicare, and my dentist doesn't accept Medicare, so I have no dental insurance. So I could probably, if I wanted to, be a patient out there. But my dentist was one of my former trumpet students, so he knows how to take good care of my good young man. So we have, that has been growing very rapidly over the last couple of years, and there are more and more veterans finding out about it and coming to see us.
In terms of dental care that's available at the Gene Purvis Community Health Center, hygienists, extractions, the whole thing?
They'll do exams, cleaning, fillings, extractions, nothing like caps or mm-hmm. crowns. I mean, that gets a little expensive. And we're actually working on a program to try to come up with some funding to help people with dentures, because mm-hmm. that's a real problem, too, with a lot of older people.
When Jim came into the studio and we were getting everybody mic'd up here, he said, Dave, you did an interview, was it 10, 11 years ago, whenever we...
2005.
Well, it was just longer than that. It was 14 years ago.
Yeah.
Whenever the idea for a community health center was in its embryonic stages here in Butler.
Yeah, it was a couple years before we actually saw our first patient. It was 2008 when the first patient was seen.
Hard to believe it. You're in your 11th year now, at the 10th anniversary.
Yeah. And you and I haven't changed at all in the 14 years since that interview, right?
Hardly a smidge. Yeah, that's for sure. I want to talk about the St. Andrew's United Presbyterian Church a little bit. Pastor Jim mentioned it's great acoustically. It's beautiful inside.
It is. We are blessed with a beautiful sanctuary. It was built back in the 1880s,
I
believe. I
was going to ask you if you knew anything about the history of the building.
Well, the congregation has actually been worshiping there since the early 1800s. The congregation is over 200 years old.
Mm.
But and there's always been a building on that site. But there were a number of buildings before the current building, and I believe the current building, the sanctuary part, was built, I believe, the late 1800s, 1880s. The sanctuary was actually flipped in the early, I believe it was the very early 1960s.
You mean directionally?
The interior was actually, the pews were in a fan shape, and the pulpit was on the south wall, and they gutted the inside of the sanctuary, except for the woodwork and the basic structure and the stained glass windows, and they reoriented it so that there's now a long center aisle, and the chancel area is on the east side.
Fascinating.
The sanctuary. So
the church I've been talking here, as if everyone knows exactly where it is. It's downtown Butler.
It is.
And it's at the corner, that would be the corner of East Cunningham and McCain Street, right?
It's actually Jefferson. East Jefferson and McCain
Cunningham.
Street.
You're looking How long have I been here and I still mix those streets up? And Jim Cunningham sitting right here.
I was going to say, you have a cue street, here for Cunningham.
Streets named after him, for goodness sakes. Yeah, East Jefferson Street and McCain Street, right across the street from what's now the middle school.
Yep, and right next to Cubs Hall.
It would appear to me that the classroom section of the church building was added on later, right?
It was. It was part of that big renovation in the 60s.
Which is a sizable addition. There's a lot of classrooms, and you have a big hall in there where you have dinners and everything.
We use that big hall. We use that every Wednesday evening for the community dinner program. We're the Wednesday night church, and we try to, it's a big building, and we try to share the space with anyone in the community who needs meeting space and space for special events.
Does St. Andrews still mark its Scottish heritage once a year? Do you still do that?
We do. We just had our Scottish Sunday celebration. It was not yesterday, just a week ago, the last Sunday in October. And that's always a lot of fun. We have usually special musicians, and Lars Morrison is a local piper who also plays, a bunch of different Celtic instruments, and he helps out with worship, and Deanna does special music for the Sunday, and it's a lot of fun.
What's the connection with Scotland? Are you able to encapsulate that for our listeners?
Well, a lot of the first, the families who settled in Butler and were original members of the church were from Scotland, or they started out in Scotland and spent some time in Ireland and then came over.
The Scotch-Irish, they're called.
Exactly, exactly. So there's that connection. And then when several Presbyterian denominations merged, and I won't go into all that history, but the local Presbyterian churches were needed new names because there were several First Presbyterian churches and several Seconds. So our congregation chose St. Andrews in honor of the town in Scotland, St. Andrews.
Oh, yes. Well, those of us who play golf know where that is. I was actually there. It's on Cunningham Street.
I was assured it was for the religious historians at St. Andrews, but we have so many golfers, I'm suspicious there may have been an added motivation.
That's where, at St. Andrews University, where Prince William and the Duchess Kate met. They both went to school there.
You're right.
Yeah. I actually have been there. I was kidding you, Jim. It's a very small town right on the coast. I went because, the birthplace of golf, St. Andrews. And I have 16 pictures of me standing on the first tee to prove that I was there. I was with a group of friends, and I had everybody take 3 or 4 pictures so that I knew one of them would come out, so that I could have a framed picture on my wall. Well, I thought people would be interested in the Scottish history and the Scottish connection of St. Andrews United Presbyterian. And it's I can remember the first time I was ever in there. I actually sang in there. I think it was before you were there, Diana. Mm-hmm. But because I'm bit of an amateur student of church architecture, and I was mesmerized by the beautiful wood structural beams that are inside. Yeah. It's really, really pretty.
It is. It's a spectacular space.
Yeah, it is. Listen, we have to take a break. We'll come back and talk more about this concert. It's a great concert. It'll benefit anybody who goes. It'll certainly... veterans will be interested, families of veterans, because there'll be a lot of music celebrating Veterans Day, which is a week from today, actually.
Monday.
Yeah. Next Monday, Veterans Day. And also the opportunity to help out a little bit for the dental program for veterans at the Gene Purvis Community Health Center. A quick break, back to talk more with our guests here on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be right back.
They're back! So don't miss another night of raucous musical comedy when Connecting to Tomorrow hosts the Piano Maniacs for an encore performance. Saturday, November 16th at the Lindora American Legion. Tickets $20 each and the proceeds benefit C2T's teen mentoring programs. Doors open at 6, music starts at 7. It's BYOB, must be 21, food is available. Get tickets at the door, Butler County Radio Network, or Eventbrite online. And join C2T for some dueling piano fun.
The Jones Turkey Farm in Cabot has delicious, all-natural, free-roaming turkeys and chickens to make your Thanksgiving meal special this year. Their birds are handled with extreme care and are preservative and additive-free. Buy your turkey frozen today or get it fresh right before the big holiday meal. For the tastiest turkeys and chickens in Western PA, call the Jones Turkey Farm, 724-352-2450, or visit jonesturkeyfarm.com. The Jones Turkey Farm in Cabot, quite simply the best.
Welcome back, good folks. During the break, I learned that two of our guests, Deanna and Jim, were in Ireland this past summer, Deanna.
We were.
And what was the occasion? Were you performing there?
We were performing as part of the East Winds Symphonic Band.
Oh,
they're
wow.
based in the South Hills. And at the time, they had a shortage of trumpet players who were able and willing to go on the tour. And... they had asked Jim, and Jim mentioned it to my husband, Kyle, who's also a trumpet player in TMG Big Band. And he said, hey, you want to go to Ireland? And I said, sure. And next thing you know, they said, well, if they need trumpet players, our son Kevin could play as well. And so they said yes. And my daughter plays clarinet, and I played some flute in college. And so I dusted that off, and all four of us played as members of this band as we toured three different cities in Ireland.
Terrific.
Yeah, it was great. Great time.
What an opportunity. And was this past summer?
Yeah, it was in June.
Mm-hmm.
8 days.
Did you get to see some other parts of the country besides the three cities in which you performed?
Oh, yeah. It was a regular tour group. We were a couple tour buses. It was about a 50-piece band, I think.
Yeah.
And then a lot of friends and spouses. So... yeah, I saw the Blarney Stone. I didn't kiss it because there were people sneezing all over it.
You also have to lie down on your back upside down to kiss the Blarney Stone and trust the person who's holding your feet. Pastor, I'm not making this up. It's true.
I know.
I have done it.
And you survived.
Some stuff fell out of my pocket the whole way down to the bottom of the castle. But, you decided to forego that.
Oh, we stood in line and looked at it. It was lovely.
Did it rain while you were there?
Not nearly as much as we had expected it to. There was a little drizzle on a day or two, but it was not horrible, no.
Everybody thinks it rains every day in Ireland. It doesn't. If it does, it's sometimes for just a few minutes, and then the next thing you know, the sun's out.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
It's no big deal. That's why it's so green, for goodness sakes.
Oh, yeah. That was remarkable how green it was.
Yeah. Well, how great to be able to perform there. Had you ever performed internationally before, Jim?
Canada.
Yeah, well, that counts.
Bermuda.
Yeah. Did you know any of these other people other than Dana's family?
I knew several of the people. I'd gone to Duquesne with a couple of the people that were in there. And you know, the music circle in Western Pennsylvania is pretty small, so there were a number of people. But it was a very good band. They're a year-round concert band, and just privileged. They have, out of their 9 trumpet players in their regular section, only one of them could make it. So
wow,
they had 8 of us coming in there.
Good thing you got some trumpet players in your family, Deanna.
It was delightful. It really was nice.
And you dusted off your flute. I can't imagine dusting off the instrument that I played in high school and trying to play it again. I probably couldn't even make any noise out of it, you know.
It was a really good excuse, and we knew about it, probably about a year ago. And so I had several months to get to work on it, yeah.
Practice up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I can remember there was a girl in our high school band that played the flute who fainted. And then I found out later that that's quite common for flute and piccolo players. You can really get lightheaded when you're playing.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe she was lightheaded to begin with. I don't know. Well, listen, I want to talk a little bit more about the concert for people who weren't with us when we began our conversation here. First of all, it's this coming Sunday, Deanna.
It is Sunday at 2 o'clock at St. Andrews, and it's going to be a really, really nice way to spend an afternoon, and I so appreciate you having us on so that we can tell people about it. But I think, you know, whether you see it on a sign at a store downtown or hear it here today for the first time, I think it's really important that people do more than just say, oh, that's nice. That would be nice to go to. Make a call to your neighbor or your friend and invite them to go. It's not going to cost either of you anything, and it will just be you'll feel so much better when you walk out of the sanctuary than when you walked in. So go out and invite somebody today. I think that personal invitation is more important than any advertisement that we could do.
Well said. And what a way to pause for an hour or so and you know, think about our veterans. Veterans Day is a week from today, next Monday. The concert is this coming Sunday. And, Pastor, we all need to do that on Veterans Day. You know, it's not just a day to go out and buy a new mattress or whatever's on sale. It's a day to remember our veterans.
It is, and so many have given so much. And their sacrifices and what they have shared for all of us often go unnoticed. And many of our vets are carrying around some really hard memories. And I think anyone who has served in any conflict has been affected in ways that we often don't see. And I think extending our sharing our appreciation and finding ways to provide care for them in very concrete ways is really important.
Yeah, I'm into that. The Veterans Day concert is entitled One Nation Under God. Jim Cunningham, I don't have to tell you how stirring it is to hear some of this music live while you're sitting there enjoying it. You know?
And it's, and believe me, as a member of the group, when we look out and see a full audience and people really getting stirred, it's great for us. I mean, we love to play. And anybody that shows up, you know, stick around, come up and talk to the guys in the band. We've got some of the greatest musicians in the tri-state area playing in that group. So we love to talk to the audience also.
I'm looking at the program Armed Forces Medley. That'll be very popular, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Stars and Stripes Forever. American Patrol. I haven't heard that since I was in a high school marching band.
We got the original Glenn Miller arrangement.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Somebody was just asking me the other day about Glenn Miller. Apparently it was the first time they knew how he had died when his plane crashed into the English Channel. He was on his way to France to do a concert for the GIs during World War II. His plane went down and
a bomber unloaded excess bombs, and they
it was the great tragedy. Yeah. It was a bomber up above, coming back from a mission over Germany, and the standard procedure was if they had any bombs that they had not dropped, they didn't want to try to land, and so they dropped them into the English Channel. Wouldn't you know? One of them hit I mean, the odds of that are astronomical.
Yeah, it's your time to go when that happens, I guess.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, anyway, what a great idea for this concert. You did it last year, Deanna, and it was so popular, you decided to do it again.
We did. You know, it's such a beautiful way to bring the community together. We have the church, and we have the band, and we have the health center, and we're all coming together to serve veterans. It's really lovely when you get a lot of people aligned in one direction to a common goal.
The concert is this coming Sunday, November 10th. I believe it's November 10th.
There we are.
2 o'clock in the afternoon featuring the TMG Big Band. Admission is free, but please, there'll be a free will offering to benefit the Veterans Dental Program at the Gene Purvis Community Health Center of Butler County. Jim Cunningham, or is it Jim Jefferson? No, it's Jim Cunningham.
That was named after my ancestors.
Jim Cunningham with us today. Everybody knows Jim, the trumpet player supreme for many, many years here in this area. Deanna Golden is director of music at St. Andrew's United Presbyterian in Butler and the pastor of that church for some years now. Pastor Mary Malloy with us here today. Good to see you all.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Dave. Thanks, Dave.
That wraps up our program for today. Hope you can join us tomorrow at 12:30 for the Tuesday, Election Day edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, my hands are shaking and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand on my own two feet. Who do you think of when you have such luck? I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh, what's on my mind? I'm a little mixed up, but I feel fine.